If you're on Tinder, then you know them. The people who feel that the best image to attract a mate is them posing with a tiger. In fact, there is a whole website dedicated to this phenomenon, tigersoftinder.com. But does paying for this wildlife encounter while you're enjoying your holiday actually cost more than you bargain for? On this episode of the Oxford Sparks Big Questions podcast, we are looking at lions and tigers and bears. Oh, and dolphins. Okay, we're looking at animals and we are asking, should I take a selfie with a wild animal? Hello, I'm Emily Elias, and this is the show where we seek out the brightest minds at the University of Oxford and we get them to answer the big questions. And if you've ever taken a selfie with an animal, get ready to feel really guilty. To guide us through this holiday minefield, we are off to the Oxford Natural History Museum to catch up with conservation biologist Dr. Tom Morehouse, who works at the University of Oxford's Wildlife Conservation Research Unit.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like anything that has big bucks attached to it. People will tell you absolutely anything to sell you a used car, you know? And it's exactly the same. There are some people who will tell you absolutely anything to get you to come to their lion farm, for example.
Globally, tourism is a huge industry. It adds $1 trillion US, yes, trillion with a T, to the worldwide economy. And to put that in perspective, Tom says one in 11 jobs in the entire world is in tourism.
We've sort of gone from, in the 1950s, getting something along the lines of 25 million international tourist arrivals to, in 2013, there were 1 billion international tourist arrivals. And we don't know how much of this tourism is wildlife tourism, but it's something like 20 to 40% of this tourism is people going to see animals or going to see sort of wildlife in some capacity.
Ask any modern traveler, and it is not hard to find an animal encounter. You go on holiday and you see a brochure for an animal attraction, or you happen to pass by one and say, yeah, I'll check it out. And in your cocoon of holiday fun, you don't necessarily think about the backstory of how those animals got there or how they're being treated.
We're not talking about zoos. Zoos tend to be part of accredited conservation schemes. You know, they sign up to standards. There's a new type of attraction. I mean, it's been around for ages. Things like bear dancing, snake charming, you know, where you have exotic species that you can kind of get close to and look at, and they're sort of not in their natural circumstances. But where you have any single species of animal, where you can kind of get close enough to have a selfie taken with them. So we're talking captive swims with dolphins, going to see captive tigers in Thailand, or if you're, for example, walking to see gorillas in the highlands of Central Africa, then all of these things are a really new form of tourism. And nobody 2 years ago could have told you what the impacts of these things were.
Here is the confession part of the podcast. Both Tom and I have gone to these sorts of attractions. For me, it was an owl cafe. I walked into what looked like an office building off of a street in Japan, and it had this weird babbly brook music piped in through the speakers. They created this sort of like plastic forest out of trees that looped around a pathway and took you around a room. And every 2 meters or so, there was a different kind of owl. They were tethered to a fake tree branch, and you could pet them, you could take selfies, and although I felt quite sad about the conditions they were in, I still got out my camera and filmed me eagerly petting an owl. And for Tom, it was riding an elephant in Thailand.
So in the past, when I was a much more naive researcher and when I was working on water voles and single species conservation rather than what I'm currently working on, so that's my excuses out of the way. I was thinking, I think what everybody thinks, which is this is something you do when you go to Thailand. There are lots of elephants in the tourist industry. It's very cool to ride an elephant. I was thinking, isn't it bristly? And a little tiny part of me was thinking, this elephant doesn't look particularly happy with what's going on here. You know, I mean, it's fine, but you know, the mahout's kind of hitting him a bit and he doesn't seem to be too happy with that. He's getting bananas, so you know, but that's pretty much the extent of how much I engaged with it.
And it's these types of experiences Tom has been investigating to see if animals are being mistreated. He started out by looking at academic studies and websites to work out the likely impact and tourist numbers. And then he took advantage of one tool all travelers have at their fingertips, TripAdvisor. Yes, Tom spent countless hours combing through TripAdvisor reviews, looking at these animal attractions, trying to figure out tourists' attitudes towards them and how the animals were being treated.
This was the most depressing period of my entire life. So what I spent months doing, there's no way to automate this. I basically was going through TripAdvisor reviews for all sorts of attractions. We were expecting there to be relatively few types, comprising relatively few institutions, and largely for them to be beneficial. And I mean, this is a desk study, so you know, nobody went out there and actually individually audited every attraction in existence. So these numbers are not a cast iron guarantee, but we found 48 different types of interaction you can have with a wild animal out there, whether in captivity or in the wild. And that may be potentially hundreds of different attractions each. We selected 24 just to have a really sort of close look at what their impacts are likely to be. And these 24 were attended by something like 4 to 6 million tourists a year.
Of the 24 attractions Tom studied, he determined 18 of them probably had a negative impact on the animal, while 14 were not just bad for the animals, but also hurt conservation efforts that were in place. Tom waded through review after review after review so that you don't have to. And now, just by glancing at the review page, Tom says you can know what to do and who to give your money to.
Because what we know, having done this study, is that for any given attraction, 80% of tourists are always going to say, isn't it a good attraction? 20% of them are going in there a little bit more critically. And it's those 20% that correlate with the actual standards in the attraction. So if they're good standards, those 20% will all be positive reviews. So if it's getting 4 stars or less, then really look at the negative reviews and pay close attention to them, because they're probably right.
Just by asking questions, you can alleviate a lot of your tourist worries. However, this is the age of alternative facts, or as Tom calls it in this industry, greenwashing. And there is no better example of this than the Wat Phong Long Thabeo Temple, a.k.a. the Tiger Temple in Thailand.
I'm not for a second saying that all institutions that keep tigers are like this, but that you should be aware that some are. So these are quotes taken from the website of an institution called the Tiger Temple. The Tiger Temple is a Buddhist forest temple in western Thailand. It's a sanctuary for numerous animals, including several tame tigers. In 1999, the temple received the first tiger cub. It had been found by villagers and died soon after. Several tiger cubs were later given to the temple, typically when the mothers had been killed by poachers. The temple collects donations in order to build a larger animal sanctuary, which would allow the tigers to live in an almost natural environment all day long, with plans to release some of the animals back to the wild. So you read that. I mean, what's your...
Well, if I'm a tourist and I'm just reading that on a pamphlet and I haven't Googled anything about it, I would probably think, oh, look what this nice thing they're doing for the tigers. Isn't that great? And it would alleviate any sort of like guilt or reservation I may have about going in and taking a picture with a tiger.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what it's intended to do. There are several red flags in there. They're being very nonspecific about what they're going to do with the tigers in the future. All of the things that they're promising to do are in the future. That's sort of a red flag for these things. But let me read you what happened to the temple in 2016. So in May 2016, the Tiger Temple was raided and closed by the Thai authorities. 137 tigers were removed. and rehomed. During the operation, 40 carcasses of tiger cubs were discovered in a freezer. In June, a monk and two other men were apprehended leaving the temple in a lorry containing 2 full-length tiger skins, 700 amulets made from tiger parts, and 10 tiger fangs. Subsequently, Thai police found what was thought to be a slaughterhouse and a tiger-holding facility used in a suspected animal trafficking network that they believed was used by the Tiger Temple to hold live tigers before slaughtering them for their skins, meat, and bones to be exported outside the country or sent to restaurants in Thailand that serve tiger meat to tour groups.
Ooh. So, how did it fare with TripAdvisor reviewers?
70% of them were positive. So 70% of them said it was excellent or very good, and they would recommend it to somebody. The other 30% were critical of it on the grounds of animal welfare. So they went there and they thought the tigers weren't in good conditions. And that number, 70%, to me, is a huge red flag.
Policing attractions is difficult to impossible. And with our selfie culture driving us to more and more unusual lengths to get a likable photo, Tom is working with TripAdvisor to make sure that we have the right information before we snap a photo.
TripAdvisor have been brilliant in engaging with this whole thing, and they're creating an information portal where basically there will be information available on various animal attractions, things to look out for, that you can just one click away from any animal attraction that you're looking at, so that you've got at least some information about the consequences of the decision you're making. And we're embarked on some more research just to see if that's likely to change tourists' minds. You know, just making people think a little bit and switch their brains on when they're making these decisions, rather than just doing what I did and saying, oh, cool, elephant, I'll ride that. Thinking, oh, cool, hang on, I heard something about elephants. Is this a good thing? Or should I be going to the sanctuary down the road that I know doesn't allow elephant riding? And it's that sort of process that we want people to be going through, just taking a little step back before, you know, booking that dolphin excursion or whatever.
And so if you are feeling a bit guilty about the time you swam with the dolphins or posed with a tiger or visited the civets that poop out high-end coffee beans, then there is something you can do. Spread the word. Tell your friends and family to do their research, because there are good guys out there who are doing great things for conservation, but there are also some shady ones.
You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You know, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, but just don't do it again. I think that's the world I've taken from this. You know?
Or you can tell your friends to listen to this podcast, and Tom and I are more than happy to teach this lesson for you. This podcast was brought to you by Oxford Sparks for the University of Oxford, with music by John Lyons. And a special thanks to Dr. Tom Morehouse, who is also a children's author. His retelling of the classic Wind and the Willows stories are out now, so go get them for the little person in your life and make them fall in love with science. Tell us what you think about this podcast. You can go to Twitter and tweet us at Oxford Sparks. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find a lot of other cool stuff we are working on by going to our website, oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk. I'm Emily Elias, and next time on the podcast, we are off to the movies, and we're asking, what does Hollywood get right and wrong when science enters the script? Bye for now.